We gather today to bring to a close these weeks of Advent. Weeks that began with a promise that God had given us. Beginning the second week, then we looked at repentance. How do we enter into that promise? The third week, Gaudete Sunday. How do we live in joy? Even when things seem to be falling down around us in so many ways. And today we're brought right to the cusp, right to the edge of the fulfillment of all of these things. You ever notice when important events around the world are announced? Where do they come from? The leaders go to the centers of the nations. They go to the centers of commerce. New York City, Washington, D.C., Paris, France, wherever it might be. When someone announces a presidential run, where does he go? Or she? They go to the center of where they had been serving, whether it's a governor or a senate, wherever it might be. And they go to a large city in that area. And then they take a tour of neighboring states. But they go to the large cities to do these things. This week, Pope Francis announced that Mother Teresa would be named a saint later in 2016. Last week, he announced the Year of Mercy. But where did he do those things from? Rome. From St. Peter's Basilica. The center, the home, really, of us as Catholic Christians. When they do these things, they don't come to Prairie du Chien. I've not seen them in Crawford County. They don't go to Boaz or Barnum or Millville. But what does God do? In our first reading, from you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be a ruler in Israel. There's actually two Bethlehems. That's why it's designated Bethlehem Ephrathah, because it is even the smaller of the two Bethlehems. And he announces that from this insignificant village will come a ruler. He will be called forth by God. He will be strengthened by God. And this will be a reminder of this promise that God makes us, a promise that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We see in St. Paul how to live this. Sacrifices and sin offerings you desire not. In holocausts and sin offerings you took no delight. These things are only offered according to the law. They are not what please God. Behold, I come to do your will. This is what pleases God. Christ taking on our human body, and in his humility, he shows us the way. In a humble, contrite heart, that is what pleases God. Coming to church every Sunday, getting all of our baptisms and all of our first communions and all of our sacraments, being married in the church, if we're only doing them for the external, to get a piece of paper so that we can go and, you know, we come to the pearly gates someday and we go, here, God, I was there. Every Sunday I was there. I got a check. Father signed it. I was there. If that's what our sacraments are about, they're about as valuable as this sheet of paper. Pretty much worthless. If they don't touch our hearts, if they don't lead us into a conversion of heart, they will be like the sacrifices of old, not pleasing to God. But when they do touch our hearts, when they do lead us into that conversion of heart, then we can say with Christ, behold, I come to do your will. And that humble, meek heart will be a sacrifice pleasing to God. Our gospel today shows us, brings us right to that fulfillment, right to the cusp. The events that have taken place immediately follow the Annunciation, when Mary offers herself in response to God's plan, making his plan her plan of life. Mary goes in haste to see her cousin Elizabeth. At her greeting, the infant in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy, like King David after he'd taken kingship of all of Israel, the north and the south, and he united them. He went to search for the covenant, for the Ark of the Covenant, because the Ark of the Covenant was the symbol of God being in the midst of his people. And David wanted that symbol in Jerusalem. So he goes into the hill country surrounding Jerusalem, and he dances for joy. Mary, too, travels to the hill country. She is the new Ark of the Covenant. She holds in her womb not a symbol of God, but God himself, his physical presence. And John, like David, leaps for joy in front of Christ in the womb of Mary. This promise is about to be fulfilled. And blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. These words that are spoken by Elizabeth to Mary are words that are spoken to every one of us as well. Do we believe that this promise is about to be fulfilled? Do we believe that it will be fulfilled in its entirety when Christ returns? Believing these things and living them, these are what Bishop Robert Barron calls the theodrama. It is a story that is written by God. It is a story that every one of us has a role to play. It's a mission to fulfill. But so often we get sidetracked and we get drawn into our own drama, the ego drama, a story we think we write, where we're the producer, we're the author, we're the star. It's all about us. There's no objective truth in that, only what I determine. And there's a false sense of freedom, a story of tolerance, where anything goes as long as you don't infringe upon me. But living in this story is a self-imposed prison, because it's not freedom, it's license. A story where the law and contracts reign supreme. But entering into that theodrama, we can begin to truly live, because that is a story of love and a story of covenant. It opens us to the truth that we have roles to play, but we didn't write the role. We're connected as Micah was connected. We're connected as David was connected, as Mary and Elizabeth, as St. Paul, as all of our older brothers and sisters in faith. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. This theodrama gives us purpose in life. It gives us energy and direction. In our gospel, Mary and Elizabeth both enter into this theodrama. They discover it through their lives, in their choices, and in their actions. They don't have all the answers. They don't see the end before it comes. When the archangel Gabriel comes to Mary, he didn't lay out her whole life for her and tell her everything that was going to happen. He simply invites her, and she says yes. It will be discovered along their way as they live their lives. When we are gripped by this theodrama, Mary goes off in haste to the hill country. Elizabeth responds to Mary's greeting, "Blessed are you among women." Gripped by this theodrama, we are invited into this as well, to discover our role as we go on. It's something that we discover is greater than ourselves is here. Something that gives meaning to my life. Something that gives meaning to the world that we live in. It is something that transcends the world. It is something that transcends a particular time. We see the results of the ego drama in our world. It is a culture of me, a culture of divorce and abortion. It is a culture of rights and laws. It is both in religion and in society. It's a culture of isolation. It's a culture of terrorism. This theodrama is what unites us through all of the centuries, to David, to Micah. We are united to Mary and Elizabeth. We are united to John Paul and to Francis, because we are united in Jesus Christ. So as we continue to prepare our hearts for the promise of God, entering into that conversion of heart, being transformed by His invitation on the cusp of fulfillment, that we will celebrate in a very special way in just a few days, and we still await the complete fulfillment when Christ returns.